vote on him. All right. In terms of the agenda, we are now on item number one, which is opening and welcome. And I'm not able to start with opening until everybody is seated. Honourable members, could you please settle down so we can start? You are holding us up. Thank you very much. Shall we close our eyes and observe a moment of silence for prayer and meditation so that we can get God's guidance with the work that He has put in our hands. Honourable members, ladies and gentlemen, this is a joint meeting of the Select and Standing Committees on Appropriation. My colleague will be joining us soon, but I'm sure it will be appropriate that we start because we have time constraints. I will now go straight on to my welcoming remarks. Good afternoon once more, honourable members. Good afternoon to the entire National Treasury team that is present here to give us more information. And good afternoon to all stakeholders present here and all guests, including the media. You are all welcome. I wish to welcome you all to this very, very important meeting wherein we will receive a briefing from the National Treasury on the 2016 Adjustment Appropriation Bill and the Finance Bill. As honourable members will know, in the middle of each year, the adjustments process provides an opportunity to make permissible revisions to the main budget in response to changes that have affected the planned government spending for that year, such as unforeseeable and unavoidable expenditure, or even unforeseeable economic and financial events. This is all part of South Africa's open and accountable budget process. Therefore, I would like to invite members to indeed feel at home and adopt the "this is our meeting" approach so that we can all participate freely in this process and achieve on the objective of the meeting. So I'm looking forward to a fruitful engagement, and let's have free, open and robust discussions. I thank you. Let me welcome my co-chair. So we will be chairing this joint meeting together. We're now on item number two, which is apologies to the secretariat. Are there any apologies? Let's allow the secretariat first, and then I will then ask other members to present their apologies to the meeting.
Thank you, Chairperson. From the Select Committee on Appropriations, apology from Mr. Mutla Shipping, who cannot attend due to ill health.
Thank you very much. And I'm sorry, Mr. Darren.
Good afternoon, Chairperson. We haven't received any apologies from the Standing Committee.
Can you please raise your voice? I'm sorry.
We have not received any apologies for Standing Committee.
You have not received any apologies. Okay. Any other apologies from the Department of Finance? National Treasury?
There are apologies from the DDG Budget Office. and from the DDG Public Finance, which is Mr. Dondo Mokhojane and Mr. Michael Sachs.
Do we have explanation on the absence? Because I know we're looking forward to having the whole team here.
Cindy, the whole of the parliamentary office is out. I don't personally know the reasons, but I think they will provide them.
Okay. All right. Honourable Members, here are the apologies. Do we accept the apologies? Honourable Member Dr. Fink?
Chair, it's not to accept the apology, but it would make life easier for us, and then we don't have to put people in a position if the apologies that people submit are in writing in future. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, this is standard practice. From now on, all apologies should be in writing. We're just reminding ourselves of these procedures. Honourable Member Iman?
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I just want to notify the House that there's a sitting at 2 o'clock and for purposes of debate, one may need to leave us.
Okay. Honourable Member Kwabaza? Honourable Ndongeni, okay, there's an apology from Honourable Ndongeni.
Secondly, Chairperson, I think that we must just remind Mr. Treasurer, in addition to what has been said, that apologies must be written. That even if they are not in writing, at least we must be favourable to the reserve. We don't take kindly to the upset.
Well, the underlying message is we take this meeting very serious, and we indeed, moving forward, will be happy to have National Treasury present, because we look forward to them having to respond to many questions. However, let's acknowledge that they have sent a very strong team to represent them in this meeting. But also, apologies must be in writing, otherwise those apologies will be rejected. I have then asked members if they accept the apologies. Is Honourable Member Snukwanyana?
Chair, I move for...
Okay, there's a move. Any seconder? Seconded. Thank you very much. Shall we then proceed? I'm looking at the time and the fact that at 2 o'clock, we have to be in the House. I know that members who have already asked to be excused in a short space of time. We're now on item number 3, which is presentation by National Treasury. I will then request National Treasury to give us the presentation. There are two presentations. The one is on finance bill, and then the one is on medium-term budget. I'm sorry, adjustment budget, yes. Thank you very much. All right. Shall we then hand over to National Treasury to take us through?
Is there any particular order in which you would like the presentations, Chair? Is there any particular order that you would like the presentations in? Because Mr. Mabena will present on the finance bill and Ms. Ferreira on the adjustments appropriation bill. So.
Let's start with the adjustment appropriation bill.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chairpersons and Honourable Members. I will take you through the adjustments appropriation bill. The adjustments appropriation bill is tabled in line with Section 32 of the PFMA. Section 32 of the PFMA states that an adjustment budget may be tabled for very specific circumstances or provide adjustments for very specific circumstances. Those are listed here on the slide. The first one is if there are significant and unforeseeable economic and financial events affecting the fiscal target. This would be, for instance, if inflation if inflation outcomes were a lot higher than original projections. In the 2016 adjustments appropriation bill, there are no adjustments tabled in line with this subsection. The second one is for unforeseeable and unavoidable expenditure recommended by a committee of cabinet. The Minister's Committee on the Budget has recommended four adjustments in this category in the 2016 Adjustments Appropriation Bill. The third category is for any expenditure in terms of Section 16 of the PMMA, which governs spending in emergency situations. So if there was a grave occurrence that occurred, the Minister of Finance could allocate funds towards that emergency and then report to Parliament within a set time period after that. There are no adjustments tabled in the 2016 Adjustments Bill in terms of that category. The fourth category is money to be appropriated for expenditure already announced by the Minister of Finance in the 2016 budget. In this case, we've got allocations made for drought mitigation. As the Minister of Finance in the 2016 budget announced that allocations would be made in the adjustments budget in that line. The next category is the shifting of funds between and within both. That is often to follow the transfer of a function. The next one governs the use of violence, which is the shifting of funds between different programs within a vote, and also between economic categories of spending. And the final category is the rollover of unspent funds from the preceding financial year. That is typically when there are projects that we get to the end of the financial year, there are projects that should have been finished but for some or other reason they could not be finished by year end, and funds are moved from the 2015 appropriation to the 2016 year to enable departments to finalise those projects. Moving on to the 2016 Adjustments Bill itself, the bill provides for increases or decreases to allocations that were set out in the Appropriation Act 2016. Some of these shifts are just between economic classifications of spending. Adjustments to allocations in respect of provinces and municipalities are set out in the Division of Revenue Amendment Bill. The adjustments of national expenditure publication is the object to the bill and provides details on all the adjustments that are included in the bill itself. Shifts and all adjustments included in the adjustments appropriation bill are subject to the PFMA and the Treasury regulations, as well as the clauses in the main Appropriation Act. The adjustments budget serves both to effect necessary adjustments during the year, and it also provides the tool for in-year monitoring and oversight. Okay. Going quickly through the structure of the bill, we've got a vote purpose for each vote, then the bill is divided by vote and main program within each vote. Adjustments to allocations are stated in terms of main economic categories, that is current payments, further subdivided into compensation of employees, goods and services and other, transfers and subsidies, payments for capital assets and payments for financial assets. Further details of some allocations are included under the programs. All of the allocations are, however, contained in the publication. Headings group some of these items in the bill, and allocations marked with an asterisk refer to specifically and the appropriated amount that can only be used for the purposes indicated. So these cannot be wired to other items after the appropriation bill is passed. And examples of this are conditional grants that are all specifically and exclusively appropriated. Now turning to the categories of adjustments made. The first category is unforeseeable and unavoidable expenditure. There are four items that are tabled there. The first one is $2.1 million for the presidency for legal fees and costs, $71 million for home affairs for salary and equipment warehousing costs for the electoral commission due to the shifting of the local government elections from May to August 2016. The Department of International Relations and Cooperation has allocated 950 million rand to compensate for the difference between the exchange rate used when compiling the department's budget and the exchange rate prevailing at the time that payments were actually processed. The Department of Basic Education gets 118 million rand for the repair and rehabilitation of schools and associated costs. Then, as I mentioned earlier, the Minister of Finance in the May 2016 budget speech announced that further allocations would be made in the adjustments budget for drought mitigation measures. 1.6 billion rand was reprioritized between April and June towards within departmental both towards drought mitigation. Now in the adjustments budget, a further 553 million rand has been allocated to two departments to further mitigate the effects. The split of that amount is 212 million rand for agriculture, forestry and fisheries for the procurement of animal feed, and 341 million rand for the Department of Water and Sanitation for a desalination plant as well as water tankering and storage. There are three shifts of funds that are affected within the adjustments appropriation bill. The one is from the Department of Public Works to the DBSA, the second from the Department of Basic Education to Health for South Africa's co-hosting of the 21st International AIDS Conference. And the third one is from the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development to the Office of the Chief Justice, and that's basically moving funds from the payment for magistrates' salaries to payments for judges' salaries where there was a bit of a shortage there. Vyments are governed in terms of Section 43 of the PFMA, Clause 6 of the Appropriation Act for 2016, as well as the Treasury regulations. There are different types of vyments, and the way they are governed depends on those three pieces of legislation read together. So there are some vyments which accounting officers can do at their own discretion, and they don't require the approval from National Treasury or the approval from Parliament. A second type of vyments requires specific approval from the National Treasury, and the third type of vyments can only be effected with parliamentary approval. In the adjustments, in the adjusted estimates of national expenditure publication, there is a table on vyments for each vote. There's also on this table the vyments that require National Treasury approval and or parliamentary approval are all indicated with a footnote. So by going through each one, you will see which ones require what kind of approval. On these slides, we have listed the vyments that are over 100 million rand. But they don't necessarily require National Treasury approval or parliamentary approval. Some are done at the discretion of a council. Rollovers. The rollover of funds is typically to finish projects that were close to completion at the end of the last financial year. Funds needed to be moved over to this financial year to allow the departments just to complete those projects. Of the more significant monetary amounts here are 276 million rand for the Department of Transport for the Provincial Roads Maintenance Grant, and to Statistics South Africa for a capital contribution for the construction of their new head office building. Self-financing expenditure is expenditure that departments incur, and they finance that through the revenue that they generate. So the biggest item is 962 million rand that is allocated to the Department of Home Affairs for them to generate documents which they then sell to the general public and generate the revenue. So for instance, that would be passports, that they produce the passports, they incur costs to produce those passports, then they sell them to the member of the public and get a certain amount for that passport. In order for them to access those funds, they've got to be allocated in an appropriation act. Another example is the Department of Defense and the Military Veterans, which incur expenditures for defence activities, which is defrayed by selling equipment and spares through the Special Defence
funds that departments indicate they will not be using by the end of the financial year, and the allocation is subsequently reduced by that amount. So the biggest item here is the billion rand that is a reduced allocation on the Department of Social Development's vote, and that's basically because there are lower social grant payment estimates for the 2016-17 financial year. In conclusion, there's a 9.6 billion rand downward adjustment for the 2016-17 financial year. Of this, there are 4.4 billion rand in addition, of which 1.2 billion are for unforeseeable and unavoidable expenditure, 412 million for rollovers, 553 million for drought mitigation measures, 1.1 billion rand in self-financing expenditure. The last two items listed are not in the adjustments appropriation bill because they're actually direct charges against the National Revenue Fund, which are governed in terms of separate statutes, and that's 1.1 billion for National Revenue Fund payments and 1.7 million rand for the International Oil Pollution Compensation Fund. The offsetting amounts, or the amounts that actually decrease, are 6.3 billion rand that was set aside in 2016 budget as a contingency for unforeseeable events that may occur. 4.2 billion rand that departments are indicating that they will probably underspend by the end of the financial year. 1.3 billion in declared unspent funds. And the last two are also direct charges against the National Revenue Fund, that is 2.2 billion, a decrease in estimates of skills levy and sector education and training authorities funding, and a decrease in projected state debt costs. Overall, the total adjustments expenditure decreases from 1.318 trillion to 1.309 trillion.
Thank you very much, Ms. Ferreira. I will now call upon your colleague to present to this meeting the Finance Bill 2016.
I'm taking you through the components of the finance bill. In the first instance, Section 34(1) of the Public Finance Management Act states that unauthorized expenditure does not become a charge against the National Revenue Fund except in two instances. The first instance is that the expenditure is an overspending of a vote in parliament or provincial legislature, as may be appropriate, approved as a direct charge against the relevant National Revenue Fund, an additional amount for that vote which covers the overspending. In the second instance, the expenditure is unauthorized for another reason, and parliament or provincial legislature, as may be appropriate, authorizes the expenditure as a direct charge against the National Revenue Fund. Furthermore, Section 34(2) states that if parliament or provincial legislature does not approve an additional amount to cover overspending in terms of subsection 34(1)(a), then that amount becomes a charge against the fund allocated to the vote for the next financial year. Republic of South Africa in terms of Act 108 of 1996. The National Assembly's Committee on Public Accounts has the authority to recommend to the National Assembly that cases of unauthorized expenditure may be, one, approved as a direct charge against the budget of the respective department, while appropriate steps to recover monies may still be in progress. Two, approved as an additional charge against the National Revenue Fund, or not approved and, when necessary, direct that follow-up investigations be conducted. There are two schedules to the Finance Bill. Schedule 1, unauthorized expenditure referred to in Section 34(1)(a) of the Public Finance Management. An additional amount is appropriated as a direct charge against the National Revenue Fund to cover the overspending of the vote appropriated. In that instance, there are two departments, the Department of Home Affairs in 2005 incurred an overspending of 53 million, and in 2010-11 incurred an overspending of 687.3 million, and in 2012-13 incurred an overspending of 160.4 million. Then the Department of Transport in 2008-09 incurred overspending of 345.8 million and in 2009-10 incurred 263.3 million. Schedule 2 to the Finance Bill, unauthorized expenditure referred to in Section 34(1)(a)(b) of the Public Finance Management Act are funds surrendered by the vote in respect of the listed unauthorized expenditure, which will be refunded to the department as a direct charge against the National Revenue Fund. In the first instance, in 2005, the Department of Home Affairs surrendered to the fiscus 46.8 million, and in 2012-13 surrendered 140.6 million. The Department of Water and Sanitation in 2005-06 surrendered 3.7 million, and the Department of Transport in 2008-09 surrendered 844.9 million. And in 2009-10, surrendered 362.4 million. In summary, Schedule 1 of the Finance Bill, unauthorized expenditure referred to in Section 34(1)(a) of the Public Finance Management Bill, which is a direct charge, amounts to, in total, of all the departments to 1.5 billion. And Schedule 2, which requires to be surrendered to the department, total 1.3 billion. In total, the Finance Bill is 2.9 billion. Thank you.
Thank you very much for the two presentations. Honorable members, you have been listening attentively. I will then open this opportunity for you to reflect and engage on the two things. Let's start with the first one. Don't have to, I promise you. then not go to all right. Let's look at page 2. If you've got any clarity seeking questions, they are here to respond to those issues that you want to get more clarity on. Page 1 of the 2016 Adjustments Appropriation Bill. Any clarity seeking questions? Yes, Honourable Member.
Apologies, Honourable Chair. It might just be confusing. Can we go slide by slide? Because if it's page 2, then
okay.
If you don't mind.
Let's go slide by slide. I'm sure Honourable Members are comfortable with that. Agreed?
Yeah.
Agreed?
Second question. The third question in the same vote there is a 200,000 rand environment for an institution called the Progressive Youth in Business. Now, a little bit of sleuthing, two clicks on Google allows you to, or leads me to believe that the Progressive Youth in Business is in fact an ANC front organization. It is in fact amounts to a transfer by the Department of Trade and Industry to a political party, in this case the African National Congress. It is an institution hosted in the Treasurer General's office. Now the question is, did the Treasury, or has the Treasury scrutinized this in, environment? That's the first question. And do you have an opinion on it? And Chair, I'd like to suggest that we, that the committee gets a legal opinion on whether this environment is consistent with the law or not, on the basis that my understanding, and I see Advocate Jenkins lurking, is that transfers to political parties are governed by an act called the Public Funding of Representative Political Parties Act. And I would be keen to know, I think we need to dig into this environment and determine whether it's consistent with the law or not. If you look at the URL of the Progressive Youth in Business, it's in fact www.ancpyb. How this happened, I think somebody needs to explain. But on this, I think we need a legal opinion on whether it is ultra-virus or not. That's the, and then not to try and repay last point, I'd like to draw your attention to vote 26, which is Labour, and there is a environment in the amount of 600,000 rand for, and I quote, the replacement of office furniture for the Department of Labour's attaché in Geneva. Now you can imagine that I'm deeply interested in how much furniture you get for 600,000 rand. And for that reason, I put a parliamentary question, and the Department of Labour replied that in fact, there was no procurement, there was no furniture, there was no requirement at the end of the day to purchase this furniture. So my question to the Treasury is, what is this? I mean, is this unauthorised? Is it irregular? What's the money is not going to be spent. I begin to understand exactly how that money will be dealt with. As I said, Chair, deal with the need.
Thank you very much. I know you went on and on. Our slide 6 and then 7, alright, 7. Any other issue that you'd like to raise under
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's a little difficult when it comes to a presentation like this if we restrict it to the slides themselves, because as we know, we're dealing with the whole AENE, which is a much bigger document than the presentation we've got. And I would just like to understand correctly, as regards the adjustments appropriation, is the situation so that until that bill is passed by the National Parliament, no money may be spent as envisaged in the bill? Is that the situation? And if it is in fact the situation, have you as National Treasury satisfied yourselves that none of this money has as yet actually been spent? Because I suspect that in many instances it has been spent. I can give you a few examples. For example, when we speak about, and I think this is slide 6 that we bypassed just now, agriculture, forestry and fisheries, 212 million rand on the procurement of animal feed for drought-stricken areas. I would imagine that a lot of that money was spent while we were still in the midst of the drought, that it wouldn't have been held back until the drought's over and now we start spending it. But maybe you can give me some satisfaction in that regard. Packaged mobile desalination plant to be used in coastal areas. Once again, this is a drought relief kind of project. if we hold back until we get the bill through Parliament, then we start trying to deal with the drought that's effectively over. Perhaps you could just address me on that. Then if I could please, with the permission of the chairperson, take it to the AUNE, vote 7. At the foot of page 37, it says there's a total estimated third-party investment leveraged. And then you have a target for the year, which is 3.5 billion rand. And then what you've achieved in the first 6 months is 4.5 billion rand. So we've 1 billion rand over target in the first 6 months. I would like to know, where was that money leveraged from, and on what conditions, page 37 of the AENE, at the foot of the page. If you can give us some idea, there's no detail provided here, other than it was for outcome 9, sustainable human settlements and improved quality of household life. But I would just like to know a bit more detail about this. That's a billion rand, Dan. It's just sort of slides past without being noticed much. And I'd like to know where it came from. Got an idea where it's going to. But what are the conditions surrounding this? Where is it leveraged from, and how does that happen? Then I'd also like to ask you, in terms of the same table, if you look there at the placement and training of placement, together for the year have been exceeded already by some margin. If I do the figure there, I think it's on the next page. It's on page 38 at the top there. Now, I just wanted to know that how's that funded? If we've already exceeded our target for the year within the first 6 months, what do we pay for that? Because obviously we've now spent more money than we budgeted for. Is that taken into account in the appropriation adjustments bill, and if so, where is it there? Because I don't find the tie-up to the appropriation adjustments bill. And then I would like to know, has that process now been stopped? We've exceeded our target. Can we stop the process now, or do we continue with the process? Because the implication would be that then that excess is going to grow even more. It will be a geometric progression on that number. And then lastly, on vote 7, as stated in here, that a decrease in debt service cost is expected. Now, if that's the case, why is the target then not reduced? Because if you're expecting a decrease, surely you must reduce your target accordingly. But the target remains the same, but if you say you're expecting a decrease, perhaps you can explain why the two don't talk to each other in that regard. On page 143, ma'am, if I may just, you can stop me whenever you like, but why do you let me talk and I continue? It's my time, thank you, ma'am. On page 143, there's an entry about leasing of transport aircraft. 95,973,000 rand for the lease of transport aircraft under goods and services of the Defence and Military Veterans. I asked the question previously what this amount was for, and I didn't get an answer. I was told I had to defer the answer until this presentation. I explained why I didn't want to do that, but I still haven't had a response. And I would like to know, what are we leasing aircraft for? Are we leasing it for VIP transport, or are we leasing it for other transport needs that we may have? Ma'am, I have another one, if I can just find it. So, ma'am, let somebody else have a turn. If you give me a second round, I'll come back later. If not, it'll have to be a written question. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you very much for your questions. Any other question? Any other clarity-seeking question? Honourable Member Imam?
Thank you, Chair. I want some clarity on issues of rollover. Does it not have other implications, cost implications, especially if you talk about road infrastructure for provincial road infrastructure in terms of escalation of cost? Obviously, if it's rolled over, then it is as a result of delay from the time process. What happens then? Because then that amount clearly depreciates based on the fact that there will be escalation in cost. That's the first thing. We also talk about expenditure incurred in the issuing of official documents for Home Affairs. Now, we provide funding for them to print these passports and things, and they generate income out of it. Now, confusion for me is, we're providing the money for you to do that to generate the income. Should it not really work like a business? We provide you the money, you become self-sustaining, you must provide yourself. The 10-hour month. Because otherwise, we're giving you the money, we're generating the income of it, so I don't understand. If you could just explain that to me. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Imam. Now call upon Honorable Member for the lunch.
Chairperson, thank you. I just need clarity on slide 11. It's indicated there, and I read, capital contribution for the construction of the new head office building. Now, if my memory serves me right, capital works, your capital budget is a ring-fenced account. Now, obviously a building is executed, it's built in terms of a project development plan. And I'm not clear where this contribution is coming from. Normally, rollovers for capital related expenditure, you know, only comes up when the building or whatever is not on schedule or is going to go to the next financial year. I just need clarity on this contribution part. And, you know, what is the position? Are they not, you know, up to, you know, to the program, or what is the position here? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable
Sarah
Blanche. I'll now call upon
Honorable
Member
Fee. Thanks, Honorable Chair. I'm back to slide number 8. I just need clarification on this. I always get concerned when I see environment, and it tells me that in the first place, well, mostly because it's as a result of unspent funds, and when you get such large amounts that are unspent, it also makes me think that they were possibly not needed in the first place. Now, if you look at the item of post-retirement medical benefits, now I would have thought that that would have been budgeted for in the first place, so why would it be environment? It's a normal expense. It shouldn't be. I understand it's environment, so it's not unforeseeable, but why would you have not budgeted for that in the first place? And then, secondly, on which just a general comment is this compensation of employees in under services. That's another item that concerns me. It seems as though that money is put, those accounts are used as expense accounts. It seems as though money is put there. And in the anticipation that it will be transferred at some later stage. And the concern there is that, you know, if it's budgeted for compensation of employees, why then would it not be? What has happened to those employees? Where, if they were budgeted, then they must have been somewhere. But in this case, it seems as though the employees were never there, so we put it there hoping that, well, in anticipation that we're going to use it elsewhere. So those are two accounts that that concern me. So can we just get clarification on that?
I'm checking if we have exhausted all the questions on the 2016 adjustment appropriation bill. Honourable Member McLaughlin, who else would like to rise on the on this bill? So yourself two. So after the two, I will then cross over to the department, allow the department to provide us with the response. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Honorable Member McLaughlin and Honorable Member Imam, over to you, sir.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Now on slide 11, my question on the same thing that Honorable Clark shows. South Africa, who's going to own that building? I would have thought the building would have been part of the Department of Public Works' portfolio, and yet this money is being provided to the Department of Statistics for their head office. Does this not fall within the purview of Public Works? Just, if not, why not? Why am I misunderstanding that? Then,
do you get the question?
I think I may be repeating what my colleague Dr. Fick asked. The declared unspent funds. Just in simple terms, does this mean we're actually reducing our national wage bill? Is that the effect of all of this? And can it be accepted as such? Or are we just keeping the posts open and we're giving the money one side and the funding later once we've filled the posts? Because this is a large amount of savings that we've got in effect, unspent funds, but it's all for compensation of employees. And if I could just go back to vote 39, AENE, and just ask, again, the forum may be the wrong one. I should be asking questions to the Department of Rural Development. But I had a few questions about it. My main concern with this was the fact that we have or are expecting to receive over 160,000 claims in respect of land. But our target is only 371 for the 16-17 year to settle. At this rate, we will never sort out this problem. Surely, if we are serious about this, and we're expecting 160,000 claims, we should be dealing with 16,000 a year with clear intentions. To have a target of 371 just seems ridiculous to me. And at the current rates, if we extrapolate the figures, our budget is going to be huge for this, and we know we're going to make it. So I'd just like to hear what your thinking is on this aspect. Why are we keeping these numbers so slow? How are we going to cope with this ongoing trend that we have of people claiming land if we're never going to be able to deal with these claims? Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Member McLaughlin. Honourable Member Imam.
Yes, Chair, just one question. With regards to the unspent funds, maybe Chair, you should tell us whether they believe that, is this as a result of poor planning? You know, I keep saying see compensation to employees with 27% unemployment rate, hundreds of thousands of graduates coming out every single year. And we say compensation. If you talk to them, they say vacancies. I don't know. Maybe you need to explain to us what do you think. What is really your opinion on regards to this?
Thank you. I see Honourable Member Dibier's hand.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Just to clarity on slide, this slide 14, unspent funds compensation of employees. Does that relate to what the Minister said in the MPPP yesterday, 15, as well as the budget presentation 16 February, regarding the headcount in departments and the containment of expenditure regarding personnel? Does this relate to that? Just to give us that clarity, please. Because then it will come up next year as well.
Thank you very much. I'm sure this is the very last one.
Honourable
Member
Issa. That's the last one. I realize you're running out of time. I apologize profusely, Chairperson.
Indeed, I'm not going to allow another one.
I realize you're running out of time. Honourable Chairperson, mine is just on a point of clarification on slide number 8, under items 21. The second line, payments to financial assets, from payments to financial assets, motivation new development bank, 162.3 million to household. The motivation there is pension dispensation of the non-statutory forces. I just wanted to get some clarity on that. Thank you.
Thank you so much for all the questions, and they have relevance with what is on the table. And for those questions that do not have relevance, I'm sure we will all be happy to put them aside and focus. All right. Okay. Thank you very much. Over to you.
Thank you very much. Let's see, I'll try my best. There are some of them that I'm not going to be able to answer fully, but we'll deal with that as we go along. Okay, so the first question was around the legal fees for the presidency, and the question was around which kind of legal fees are those. So the amounts that those pertain to are for cases that were only initiated in this financial year. So in other words, they weren't on budget, the funding for the legal counsel, etc., in those particular matters. In terms of the DIRCO exchange rate adjustment, I suppose there are sort of two ways of dealing with it. The one would be you could kind of put more money on the department's budget than what you estimated they need, and then you wouldn't have need of adjustments, and then have some underspending at the end of the year, or have them spend it by spend it somewhere else. Or you could work on what the estimate of the exchange rate is. And I think so that's the latter is how we currently work. And hence there are those adjustments, and those adjustments are for the ongoing legal obligations in terms of the hiring of accommodation and so on for the missions and so forth. In terms of, let's go to the violence question, vulnerable may need. In terms of, are there any that are inconsistent with the law and with the PFMA, I would have to say there are none that we know of. Although, obviously, we've pointed out there might be something we should be looking into. But I think categorically, in terms of the way, in terms of when it was tabled, there are none that the Treasury knows of. In terms of the violence for vehicles, most of the violence for vehicles, including the example made of the Department of Trade and Industry, were approved by the accounting officers, as is their legal purvey to do so. And essentially, the amount for the vehicle was 1.25 million. And then there was also some computer equipment, so it's not the full amount that you have there. But in terms of the handbook, then obviously the purchases would have been made accordingly. Your question regarding can we provide the type, model, and value for each vehicle, I'm from the budget office, I don't know about public finance perhaps has, but I've not heard of us having that information in a consolidated format in any way, but I assume that would be that the auditors would come and check that when the financials get audited, and it is basically the accounting officer must account. I take note of the violence that you've pointed out that needs to be looked into in terms of whether or not it is legal, but I obviously don't have an opinion or any comments on this now. I'll give an opportunity later for other colleagues to add if they wanted to. In terms of the Department of Labour, which is actually both 28, we have got information in terms of what that spending is, so clearly we will have to go back there, because if you have information that this money wasn't spent, the information given to us upon a second query is that the information was not used for office, the funding was not used for office furniture, but in actual fact was required for the labour attaché's residence in Geneva, and we actually have a list of furniture, and I could give it to you, including mattresses, etc., etc. So there's a... Okay, so the money has been spent, and that's what it's been spent on. In terms of the question regarding Honourable McLaughlin, in terms of whether spending can occur before the bill is passed, generally speaking, there are some categories of funding where this can be done. For example, rollovers, we use Section 6 in the main appropriation bill. There's a Section 6 at the front, which allows the Minister of Finance to allow some funding to flow before the passing of this bill if it is deemed that it is necessary so as not to disrupt the ongoing operations. And rollovers tend to fall into that category. Normally, I think Honourable Imam asked a question about are there consequences or whatever. I'll come back to that. But generally speaking, even with rollover applications, we look to see if the department has enough funding on their current baseline. So even if they would qualify for rollovers, if they have enough funding on their baseline for what they're able to produce, we would not necessarily grant that. But the rollovers that we do grant, we do deem to be necessary. So using Section 6 there, we would have informed department accordingly. Similarly, in respect of the item D, the money announced previously announced in the budget, which was in this case for this year, in respect of the drought, we would not have asked them to stop spending until the bill is passed, so that spending has taken place. And then I think also just to remind you that Ms. Ferreira pointed out when she was doing her presentation that many categories of violence are within the jurisdiction of the accounting officer, and so those have obviously been affected. There are some violence, however, which is only for Treasury to approve. Those are marked in the AENE. And then there are some violence which don't have Treasury approval and which only which only Parliament yourself can approve. Then, in terms of, I think it's slide 7, there was a question on Treasury. Oh, 37, sorry. I don't have the details around this at all. I don't know. I'll defer that and come back to our public finance colleague on that. And then broadly speaking, there was also a question, you can just note to come back to, also on the target for the debt service costs. And in that one, I'm not sure whether it's, with the financial market, very difficult to predict. So we might be signaling that we anticipate, but what really realizes might not be the same, which might be the reason for not changing the target, but I'm not sure. Then there's the question on the spending by defence for aircraft transport. The spending, that spending was leasing of transport for the presidency as a short-term solution. And they're looking into, I think, to transportation. To providing, I don't know, I don't have the details as to where the flights were and what the circumstances were, but I think there's a long-term investigation into this, and they will be providing us with the details of the study that they're at, the defence is undertaking. But we haven't received that yet. Then, Honourable Imam, on the rollovers, And if you don't mind, I'll link this to your question on whether underspending at the end of the day is a result of poor planning, because I think, you can only roll over what you underspend, so maybe let's start there. In terms of underspending, some underspending is because of poor planning. Other underspending is unavoidable. For example, if there is construction and you have inclement weather, then you literally may not be able to continue with a project. So it's very difficult to make a generic statement about that, and one would actually need to look at it on a case-by-case basis to see what the nature of that underspending is. We do that at the end of each financial year, and we use the information that we have about that underspending in order to adjust or put through adjustments the baselines for departments that we propose in the following year. There's also, for example, certain underspending that we know is there that we don't do anything about. Like, for example, there is every year underspending on the Department of Social Development in respect of social grants. There's also every year that we come and do a declared savings now. But I think, we work on estimates of beneficiary numbers. I think we're a bit cautious there to be too tight on that budget. So sometimes it's also a judgment call as to what one does about that, because I think from our point of view, you certainly would not want to be caught short on that budget either. Then in terms of once the underspending has occurred, I've already explained that when we look at rollovers, we look at A, whether it qualifies as a rollover, but then also whether or not you'd be able to spend that money in addition to what's already on baseline, because sometimes the capacity of delivery
area of the department is such that you can't produce more even if we gave you more money, per se, depending on what the nature of the department is. And yes, sometimes that is an escalation in cost, but I think, you know, that inflation is with us all the time, so that is obviously true, that if you postpone things, then often there are escalations in cost. But these things we consider when we look at the rollovers. Then the question on the Home Affairs documents. So essentially, the question is, fees are charged, revenue is raised, the revenue goes into the National Revenue Fund, and then we come now and we ask for the money to be appropriated, because if not appropriated, obviously it would stay in the Revenue Fund and Home Affairs would not have access to use this funding. I think the other way of doing it could be that, you know, you set up an entity, but I suppose there are issues around setting up of entities and how entities operate as well, which the department would have to consider. So I think there are other options, but I think the department is probably at this stage most comfortable with that. Then in terms of the question on the capital contribution, in that case with StatsSA, the building is a public-private partnership, and so it is government's contribution towards the building of the building, the capital contribution, as opposed to any operations, although I'm not sure, again, my public finance colleague might know whether that's a build and operate PPP or just a build PPP. I'm not sure, I don't have the details. Honourable Fig, on the non-statutory forces pension dispensation, in terms of this is an item, should it not have been budgeted for? I don't have the details with me on exactly which benefits those are and at what point if they new benefits or whatever became known. So I'm not sure about the timing, but generally speaking, I think it would be correct to say that obviously if we knew about that at the time of the budget, that would be something that one would budget for. In terms of the question around the violence in respect of the TVET colleges, our higher education, moving out of compensation of employees and moving it towards subsidies. Probably just to note that this was a function that was shifted from the provinces a while back. I'm not sure, it might still be, again, my colleague from IGR could come in later on if there is any more information. It might be to do with that, but generally speaking, your general concern about leaving money in compensation of employees, you know, allowing vacancies or constantly leaving them there and then using that to fund something else is something which Treasury has been concerned about, and hence in this past, at the time of the budget, for the first time in the main appropriation bill, we have specifically and exclusively appropriated the compensation of employees budget at a vote level. So that we have departments needing to request permissions in order to move funding. And then in terms, I think I might be missing something else on the set. Who owns the bill? I actually don't know. I don't know when it's a public-private partnership, whether it reverts to the
That particular PPP, in answer to the earlier question, is a 25-year own operate PPP, after which I guess it will come back to the ownership will devolve to the state. I'm not sure whether it will be StatsSA or Public Works that will own it in the long run, though.
And then the question from
Honourable De Beer and Ms. Lachlan on the declared unspent funds in terms of on compensation of employees and whether that ultimately reduces the wage bill. Is that ultimately the aim? I think essentially it is related to that. Obviously this is an in-year adjustment and it's an assessment of the spending prospects or forecasts realistically at the mid point of the year relative to what is on budget and where there is extra funding which the departments have agreed that they would not be able to spend on compensation of employees. Remember, because it's now specifically and exclusively appropriated, they cannot move it around. So essentially then we prefer to have that declared obviously up front than that it just becomes underspending unspent at the end of the year. But generally speaking, yes, the compensation of employees ceilings are quite tight and there are some departments which will have to probably manage their headcounts down in order to manage within those ceilings. I guess some of them may have been working towards that and hence already have some of those vacancies. But again, one would have to look department by department. Then also, Honourable McLachlan, in terms of the targets in respect of land claims, I think what we would say from the Treasury's point of view is that we would want the target to be an honest reflection of what the budget can fund. Yes, then obviously if one looks at the numbers, one would probably say, if you were looking at then what is the unit cost, and then if you look at the estimate of how many claims there would be, looking at what that budget would be. But I think in terms of, in an in-year process, we can't really make any comment on that. I mean, the budget is obviously a statement, the initial budget, in terms of the priorities and how one ranks them relative to each other. And I think essentially what you're saying is that perhaps it's not being prioritized as much as it should be. The priorities, generally speaking, though, come from the budget mandates and so on from the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation. But as the budget lies currently, the targets must talk to the funding in an honest and transparent sense. And then, what was the last question? Okay, I think I have answered that. This was about how... Yes. I have your name and then I didn't get the question. But I think the question was about why it was two households and that would obviously be with the beneficiaries or individuals. If it's a pension payout, obviously then it's two households, not meaning general households, but an individual which is not an institution. Can I let Mr. Mabena answer the two questions that I'd asked him to look at if he has answers?
I'd just like to make an addition in respect of the establishment of a trading account by the Department of Home Affairs. They did try to establish and pilot the trading account in 2012-13. However, at the time when the Auditor General was about to audit the trading account, he found a number of problems. And at the end, the Auditor General and the Office of the Accountant General decided to put hold the establishment of the trading account. And since then, the self-financing method at the moment, a decision has already been taken that the department is not willing or to continue with the trading account because we will not be able to satisfy the requirements of the Auditor General. Now the option on the table is that Treasury should consider to allocate or appropriate funds into the baseline. It was looked at during the current MTEC, but it could not be afforded because it was in the region of about 3 billion over the MTEF. So it is something that will be considered in the upcoming or next budget processes.
Earlier on, I announced that we will be co-chairing this meeting. I now officially hand over to the Honorable Co-Chair to take this matter forward.
Thanks, Chairperson. Not much, really. I see members are very much concerned about the proceeding this afternoon. So, are you Honorable Minion?
Thank you, Chair. I know time is up. Yes, it's just some quick follow-ups. Obviously, I mean, we can't expect National Treasury to have the particulars of each vehicle covered in the environment, but could you please furnish us with those details over the next 48 hours or so before we have to finalise the committee report? I'm sure those details will be readily available from the department. So that's the first question. The second question, Chair, in respect of the progressive youth in business environment, obviously National Treasury would have to take it up in its own way. But this committee has to make a decision about whether we would support or oppose or question that environment. So I think it would be very useful for you to get a legal opinion from Parliament's law advisor whether that environment is ultra-virus in any way. And so I'm formally requesting if we could do that. Then finally, on the whole question of the 600,000 rand environment for office furniture in Geneva, I wonder if also in writing you could furnish us with the particulars of how that money was actually spent. And obviously the committee will have to take legal advice on how we deal with that, because the money has been spent, presumed on the evidence that I have, for a different purpose to what is stated in the AEM, which I think is going to create some difficulty. Then just finally, I wonder if you could tell us who incurred the traffic fine in the Department of Public Enterprises on page 61. I would be very interested to know that.
Well, I think let's agree, Honourable Member, that some of the issues as raised here, Treasury can respond to them, has responded, in fact. And some of the issues, if they want to further clarify, so that even the issue of progressive youth, progressive youth in business. I mean, there are individual people who may, by association, there are individual business people who may, by association, come together because of certain common interests that they are dealing with. Now, we may want National Treasury to clarify the matter, rather than rushing into a legal opinion as if something wrong has happened before we want clarity, because here clearly clarity can be provided so that we don't put the cart before the horse. Let's be patient, take a process where some issues which they may be further clarified, they can be clarified. So that, because this process enables us tomorrow to enter into the public hearings. And if there's any matter that National Treasury may also wish to bring to our attention, we give you an opportunity to do so as we be dealing with the public hearings tomorrow. And of course, then we can entertain the issues if there is information which, in our view, we want in our possession but is not available. For now, let's take that process. Honorable chair wants to deal with something urgently on the agenda here. I think doesn't want to miss the opportunity to deal with the second item. We agree, Honorable Minister, that we take a process.
Sure.
Issues that are outstanding, they can be clarified further.
Sure. I mean, the information that I've asked for really just needs to be clarified in writing, and I'm happy with that. I'd just like the name of who incurred the traffic fine.
Just the name.
Which department?
Public enterprise.
Public enterprise. Okay, that's the department. That's the response. You want to go to the name. I mean, it's okay. Well, do you want really to respond to that, Treasurer? Yeah, I don't have the name, thank you. And simultaneously, yeah? It was said nicely simultaneously, though it's no name, but public enterprise. Thank you very much. So, honorable members, do you agree in the interest of time that you want to consider motion of desirability? There's a next item here, is motion of desirability 2016 adjustment appropriation bill, 2016 finance for standing committees on appropriations. Can we consider that item? And is the chair that is handling this item for standing committees, applicable for standing committee on appropriation? Thanks, yes. Honorable McLaughlin.
Thank you, Chair. I suppose that we ask questions on the finance bill. Or will
if there were responses, but outstanding questions, we give Treasurer an opportunity to get respond.
I still have some questions on the finance bill.
Oh, no. In the interest of time, we will not entertain it forever. So let's rather
our
take a process.
So far
no, there's no rush. I agree with you fully. There's no rush. There's still a process tomorrow to deal with the public hearings. There is National Treasury with us in this process. We'll go in separate ways in committees, conclude these matters until we go back to the House and for separate. So no rush at all, members, I agree with you. But we wanted objectively to get the presentations from National Treasury. Clarify to some agent matters that we want that to facilitate our as processing this bill. Then let's go to the motion of desirability. Honorable
members.
I do want to say if they are written responding to the question that you have been raised, they are written responding to the committee, not to each other. That's the first thing. The second thing is that here we are dealing with departments, we're not dealing with individuals. So we shall not name names because they are accounting officers who must respond to whatever spending is going on. Let's avoid thinking of things when we're dealing with departments.
With that understanding, shall we then move on to motion? Rule 286 prescribes, 286 subsection I prescribes that after due deliberation, you must consider a motion of desirability on the subject matter of the bill. So we've got two bills before us, so I will then read the motion of desirability for adjustment appropriation bill. B216/2016. That in the opinion of the committee, legislation is desirable to effect adjustments to the appropriation of money from the National Revenue Fund for the requirements of the state in respect of 2016/17 financial year and provide for matters incidental thereof. Do we accept the motion? Honorable Member Tobalson, seconded by Honorable Member Dr. Eek and Honorable Member McLaughlin. Thank you very much. We will sign this and then submit it. Now on the finance bill, that in the opinion of the committee, legislation is desirable to approve unauthorized expenditure and provide for matters connected therewith. Do we accept the motion? Honorable Member Schopper-Stolle? Any seconder? Seconded. Honorable Member Mugwanya. All right. Thank you very much. Jerusalem. Thank you for asking us to comply with this motion.
Now, honourable members, we have to thank you really for finding time on a Thursday in between hectic sessions. Really, we have to thank you for finding time in between Thursday after your party caucus sessions to process the agent initiation. Thank you very much. Honourable Minister, something?
I just want to confirm that you will get responses in writing from the National Treasury and when perhaps we could expect those responses.
Outstanding questions that Treasury may give additional information by when?
We will try and get those questions back to our office so that they can start working on them. It's a bit difficult to say. As for example, on vehicle makes and models, we'll get what we can get. And I don't know when we're going to get it, but we'll send out a request. And so I think we should be able to give some response probably by midday tomorrow.
The understanding is that these responses will then be directed to the secretariat, and then we will then circulate it to all to members, the relevant members, because we need to do this for the company. Thank you. Okay.
Sorry, Chair. I just have a statement that it might be difficult to give the information. That's okay. But as long as we get, even if there's no information available, it's important that we get the response by tomorrow, as promised.
But she said. Okay. Thank you so much for your cooperation. The meeting stands adjourned.
How are you, sir?
Chop, chop.